today as we come to the table.
If you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. For rather, Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. Here's another reason I believe the Holy Spirit is letting us in on a secret that Manoah was not where exactly he needed to be with the Lord, and that probably his wife was more of the spiritual leader in the home. And that is simply this. Remember when he came to Abraham, he accepted the invitation. See, eating in that culture meant becoming one with that person, having intimacy, having communion, being one together. But if our life is not right with God, we can't have that intimate communion.
Manoah was blissfully unaware that his spiritual journey wasn't aligning with where God hoped he would be. So, what did that lead to? God decided to share his messages through his wife, who is truly in tune with her spiritual connection to him. When you start to drift away from your relationship with God, you might find that you're not quite in sync with the amazing plans he has for your life. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark invites you to take a moment to reflect on your spiritual life and explore ways to deepen your connection with God. When you're in harmony with Him, everything around you will align perfectly. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Some of you might be saying right now, well, you don't understand, Pastor Mark, how hard it is to get up in the morning. Look, I'm not saying you have to get up hours early. I'm saying try 15 minutes earlier. Get up 15 minutes, spend 7 minutes in the Word, 7 minutes in prayer. If you're a kid, then you take off to school. If you're an adult, then you take off to work. Then you can spend the same amount of time in the evening or more if you want. God will grow it as time goes by, but you don't have to torture yourself. God's not calling you to torture yourself. He's saying build in practices that will lead you to success. You know, even the world knows if you're going to be successful in business or successful in life, there are certain principles that have to be in place. The same thing is true when it comes to being a believer. Not legalistic, but just seeking God and setting aside the right times with the Lord. So that's the first thing, day and night. I think that I probably emphasized that over enough, but I want to drive that home. The second thing, and the second principle I want to give you about raising your kids in the Lord, comes out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. And notice what God says to the children of Israel about their children. He says, "And these words which I command you today," we would say the Bible, "shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently." How are we to teach them to our kids? Diligently, not casually, not when we feel like it, but we set aside a time to do it. Now, again, I know some of you are probably feeling bad right now because I didn't do that. Remember, God's not chastising us today for what we didn't do in the past. God is saying, start now, today, from this point on, doing it the right way. And God will honor that. "You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Now, notice the four directives he gives here. Two of them are the ones we already talked about that he gave to Joshua in chapter 1 of Joshua chapter 1. And that is, notice he says the last two, when you lie down and when you rise up. So he's saying is morning and night, that same principle. Be in the Word morning, be in the Word night. Be in prayer morning, be in prayer night. That's the principle if you're going to be prosperous. This is not the key to salvation. Understand that. Salvation is simply believing that Jesus died on the cross and giving your life to Him, and you will be saved. But once you're saved, if you want to be prosperous in the things of God, this is the directive that God gives. So we see, again, the repeating of morning and night, but notice these other two that He gives that we're to do with our parents, with our children and us as parents. And that is, notice this, "You shall talk of them," that is God's word, God's principles, "when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way." So what does he mean? when you're living everyday normal life. What's an example? You're in your house and the kids come in and one of them says something like, you're not going to believe what happened today. And Mikey said this in class and they said that and this, that, and whatever. Say, you know what? That's exactly what really just illustrates what the Bible says. And boom, 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 boom. So you're, as you're living life, you're bringing the Bible into it. You're saying, yeah, that's what God's word says would happen. God says, if you do that, that's going to happen. And so here's what happened. And you're teaching them just in everyday normal life. What about when you're walking along the way? That's just when you're outside of the house, when you're living life. You're on vacation in the car and questions come up. Or maybe you're driving in the car or walking around the neighborhood and there's that sunset. And you look at the sunset and it's just unbelievable. And they go, wow, Dad, look at that. That's so amazing. You say, you know what? If God hadn't given the atmosphere color and designed everything the way he would have, we wouldn't be seeing any of that. It's because of all the atmosphere that it's going through. As the sun goes down, it goes through thicker levels of atmosphere as it gets closer to the earth. And so it makes all these colors and all these beautiful. And God designed it that way so that when we were walking and when we were driving and living life, we could look up to the heavens and go, isn't that beautiful? God, thank you. You're teaching them along the way. You're instructing them. You know, God has given everything. God, even taste buds. God gave us taste buds. You think about, what if God just made the sky be sky? And every day it was just this kind of clear, no color thing. Never changed, never was blue, never had beautiful orange sunsets in Tennessee, so to speak. He probably does that for us. But anyway, what if he just made food just substance? You know, we've talked about that before. I'm so thankful that food is not just substance. Kids, substance is ready. Okay, thanks, Mom. What are we having tonight? Same thing as always, substance. Come on down. And then what would you do for dessert? You want some substance for dessert? No, I think I've had enough substance. I like the fact, no, give me a brownie. And I want extra chocolate chips. I want vanilla ice cream. I want the Hershey's over the top. Give me a brownie. If you got a banana, throw it in there. Come on, let's go. And that's just me, all right? The bottom line is I say, thank you, God. Thank you that you've given our eyes to see all these colors and the way you created it. Thank you, God, that you've given us taste buds. Or as one of my girls used to think, it was taste bugs. She said, ooh, I used to think they were in my mouth. Oh, taste bugs. I don't like this. No, taste buds. And the bottom line, why did he do that? Because he loves us. And he wants us to enjoy life. He said he's given us all things richly to enjoy. And he wants us to teach our kids along the way. We're living life. Wow, I love this restaurant. Thanks for taking us here for lunch today. You know, God is good. You know, I mean, you don't have to be corny with it, you know, and whatever. But I'm saying look for opportunities to give God glory for just his faithfulness. And this is what he's saying. Morning and night, when you rise, when you sit in your home, when you walk along the way, just live normal life teaching your kids about God. And that will be training them up in the ways of the Lord. Now, lastly, another huge one, that is this. Our kids need to be in regular fellowship. That is, they need to be coming to church. And moms and dads, again, obviously you're here, so that's, you know, good. We have to be here to bring them, right? Unless, again, as we said, somebody drops them off, which is not good, because they're going to follow the way we go. But we need to be raising our kids up in the Lord in regular fellowship. You know, I've heard people say this over the years, and I don't know exactly if maybe it's a bitter Christian, or maybe it's somebody maybe they're mad at the church or whatever, but I've heard these kind of comments where they say, well, you know, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And I would agree with that. The Bible does not say you have to go to church to be a Christian. The Bible just says you have to go to church to be obedient. Listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. It says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. That is, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. He says, don't do that. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now this is, you know, God is good to us. God doesn't lay down the law and say, you've got to be every time the doors are open. The Bible doesn't say how often the church is supposed to gather. Traditionally in America, it's been Sunday, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, right? But the Bible doesn't really give us that directive. It doesn't tell us how often to gather together any more than it tells us how often to have communion. The Lord just said, have it as often as you will. So it's in between you and the Lord as far as fellowship. But the principle is this, be in regular fellowship. And have your kids in regular fellowship. And I don't know about you, but as far as I'm concerned with my kids, the more the merrier. I want to pour as much into my kids when it comes to God as I can, because I'll tell you this, the world's sure pouring into them everything they can. And when your kids are leaving for 8 hours to go to school and you've got them for a few hours when they're tired when they come home, you've got a battle already on your hands to make sure you're keeping the scales tipped the right direction. How much better to have them in fellowship? And so, again, A part of faithfully raising our kids is making sure they're in regular fellowship and leading them in the right way that they're to go. So some very practical ways to raise our kids in the Lord. And so Manoah here again wants to know, he prays to the Lord there in verse 8, saying, Lord, let this man come back. I want to meet him as well. Look at verse 9. And God listened to the voice of Manoah. And note this, God hears our prayers. Don't think that God doesn't hear us, but let's be diligent in those prayers. And again, Manoah prays, God heard him, and the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Now, this to me is very interesting. Kind of puzzling. Notice it says God listened to Manoah, but he went to Manoah's wife. Why? Manoah obviously prayed then, but I wonder what Manoah's wife was doing. Probably praying and seeking God as well, and probably more than Manoah was. Now, I want to be careful. I don't want to get Manoah mad at me and always this, you know, go to heaven. He wants to beat me up when I get there. But the bottom line is, from other things we're going to see before we're done with this passage, it would indicate that the true spiritual leader of the family was Manoah's wife. See, women didn't have a lot of time to be out in the field doing much of anything because they had so much work to do at the tent. They're the ones that set the tent up, they tore the tent down, they cleaned the tent, they made the food, they went and got the water, they washed the clothes, they did everything. And the men, of course, you know, mostly sat around during those normal duties. That's just kind of how it was in that culture. So to see her out in the field, like, what is she doing? I think she was probably out there praying, saying, God, reveal yourself again. Have the man come back. Let Manoah meet him. Let me know whatever. And I think that the spirit here, although I can't emphatically say, is indicating that she was really the spiritual leader of the family, and she now is going to get another visitation from God because she's seeking God, and he's going to miss out. Husbands, listen to me. If your wife is leading the family, your house is out of order. And number two, you're going to miss out on what God wants to show you. Why is it your wife is the one getting all the spiritual insight? Because you're not spending time in the field with the Lord. And if you're not spending that time in the field with the Lord, thank the Lord that you ladies are. But we need to make sure we both are, and men, we as the leaders of the home need to make sure that we're doing it above all because God's going to hold us the most accountable. And so he misses it when he should have been with her. He's not with her. And again, he doesn't give us the specific details of it, but I think the Spirit indicating that because of some other things we're going to see here. And notice it says in verse 10, then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me, so he's back. So Manoah arose and followed his wife. Again, I think another indication of who was leading. And when he came to the man, he said to him, are you the man who spoke to the woman? I love it. And he said, I am. One of the names of God. Remember when Moses said to the burning bush, who shall I, you know, God speaking to him out of the bush, he said, who shall I say sent me when I come? Tell them, I am has sent you. And now we see Jesus revealing himself as the I am, answering the question, but also, I think, revealing himself as the I am, if you will, to him as he comes. And one of the names of God, again, that's why he appeared to be awesome, because he was awesome. And notice what it says in verse 12. It says, then Manoah said, well, now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work? So the angel rather said to Manoah, of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. Notice I've already said it, but I'll tell you again. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe. It's like Manoah was waiting for some new set of instructions, and the Lord had already said what it was that they were to do and how they were to raise the child. And oftentimes we're confused as to what God wants us to do. In reality, he's already told us. The problem is not that we haven't heard it. The problem is we're not being obedient to do it. You know, we don't need new revelation. We need to be faithful to the old revelation. We need to do what's already there. And so rather than simply listening to what he's already said, and waiting for him to speak again, we need to get going. And so God is saying, hey, the same thing I told her, do it. And notice, so Manoah now hears this. In verse 15, then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please let us detain you and we'll prepare a young goat for you. Remember, this is what Abraham did when he met the Lord with the angels. He said, stay and let us make a goat and we'll eat together. We'll have fellowship. But notice what happens here in verse 16. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. For rather, Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. Here's another reason I believe the Holy Spirit is letting us in on a secret that Manoah was not where exactly he needed to be with the Lord, and that probably his wife was more of the spiritual leader in the home, and that is simply this. Remember when he came to Abraham, he accepted the invitation. See, eating in that culture meant becoming one with that person. having intimacy, having communion, being one together. But if our life is not right with God, we can't have that intimate communion. We can't be one with the Lord the way He wants us to be. Now, you can be saved and still not have the intimate communion with the Lord. Why? Because if you're living in sin, if you've got some sin in your life that you're still allowing to be there, it grieves the Spirit of the Lord. The Bible says, don't grieve the Spirit of the Lord. And if we're grieving God's Spirit, then it hinders our relationship. Isaiah 59:2 says, our sin separates us from God. So we can even know God and still have this lack of intimacy because of the fact that we're allowing sin in our life. Maybe we're in a time of rebellion. We're doing something we know is not right. And God says, I can't really eat with you. Yes, you're mine, you belong to me, but we can't have that close fellowship because your sin is putting up a wall between us. And I find it interesting with Abraham, he was right where he needed to be with God. And when Jesus showed up to Abraham, what did he do? They sat down and they ate together. Now we see the same thing, the announcement of a child. Rather than Isaac, it's Samson. And they show up to Manoah and his wife. Hey, you did it with Abraham. I don't know if he knew that. My point is, it was with Abraham. How about with us? Let's eat together. You announced the child, come do this. No, I won't do that. Because we can't have that oneness and that intimacy. Your sin is separate. I believe that's what's going on here. And especially because what he says next, he says, but if you're going to make an offering, I'll let you do that. But you need to make it a burnt offering to God. Remember what the burnt offering was. The burnt offering means complete devotion. In most of the offerings, you bring part of the animal and have it burn on the altar, and you would eat part of it. Or maybe you bring something else, even bread, or even a drink offering, if you will. In the burnt offering, you brought the animal to the priest, and every single drop of that animal was burned up on the altar to God. And it was a way that you said, I give you everything. I'm holding nothing back. It all belongs to you. And this is interesting to me that what the Lord said to him is, Manoah, you know what? I want to eat with you. I'm not going to eat with you, but first you get right with me. You give me a burnt offering. You give yourself completely to me. You be the man you need to be for your wife. You be the leader you need to be in the home. You be the dad that I want for Samson, the next judge of Israel. You be that first. And once you do that first, we'll dine together. And God may be saying to some of you men in this room, you're like, well, I don't know that I hear God that much. And my wife seems to get it, but I don't. You know what? I'm going to ask you this. Have you given yourself as a burnt offering to the Lord? Have you totally set yourself apart for God? Have you totally consecrated yourself unto the Lord? Because if you haven't, you're hindering that relationship. And that's why you're not hearing God like your wife does. That's why you're not as close to God as you want to be. You can change that today. Because the same angel of the Lord is in this room today saying, offer God a burnt offering. You give me a burnt offering, I'll not only help you in your marriage, I'll not only help you with your children, but I'll help you have a relationship with God like you want to have. I'll change your life. And so God lays the challenge out to Manoah here and tells him what he needs to do. And again, Manoah is going to take him up on the offer. He's going to do it. Notice what happens here in verse 17. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, but what is your name? That when your words come to pass, we may honor you. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? Again, the Lord not revealing his name, and yet he does reveal his name. Not only is the I am, but also another name for the Lord in Scripture? Wonderful. Isaiah 9:6 says this, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. And now the wonderful Jesus is saying, you know what? You get right with me first. You don't need to be worrying about my name. My name is Wonderful. You just get right with me and all the other details will fall in place. So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. And by the way, when you get to know your wondrous God, you're going to see him do wondrous things on a regular basis. He did a wondrous thing while his wife looked on. He and his wife. It happened as the flame went up toward heaven, that is from their sacrifice, from the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. So imagine the fire is going, and all of a sudden that man standing up in that flame and just disappears in it. And you can imagine that would have freaked them out, because they would have known at that moment, this was not the guy from the next village. All right, this is not normal. This is something's going on here. And when Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground, I'll bet. And when the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, Manoah knew that it was the angel of the Lord. And notice he says this, and Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die because we've seen God. See, the Bible says you can't see God and live, but it's speaking in reference to the full glory of God. Remember when Moses said to the Lord, let me see your glory. He said, well, you can't see my full glory, but here, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. I'll lay my hand on you. I will walk by you. And after I get by, I'll remove my hand and you can see what? My afterglow. You can see the afterglow that I leave behind. Even God's presence, leaving that glow of his power. I'll let you see that. But here's the problem. In human form, in the current body you're in, Moses, you can't see my full glory. You would just dissolve and melt because it is, I have to give you a new body for heaven before you're ever going to be able to see me in my full glory. But if I'm going to come to you as a man, I'm going to appear to you as a man, the man Christ Jesus. Then you can see me. Then you won't die. As a matter of fact, if you receive Jesus, you will live. And guys, here's the warning for any of us and the encouragement for any of us that may not know the Lord or have a relationship with him. Listen, the Bible says we will all stand before God on judgment day and we will see God in his full glory. If that is the first time you see God in his glory, you will be eternally separated from God forever. But if you see God in his glory in Jesus Christ as a man, the God-man, who died on a cross for you before judgment day. If you see that before judgment day, now you've seen God in a form that you can see him. If you receive him, you confess your sins and repent of your sins, the Bible says you will live eternally. The question is, have you seen God in the form of the God-man, Jesus Christ? And if you haven't, you can do that by simply asking him into your life and repenting of your sins. But Manoah here freaks out, thinking we're going to die. We've seen God. We can't live. You know, Moses couldn't see God. Nobody can see God and live and all this. But notice his wife. She's got the level head again here. She's the calm one. But his wife said to him, well, if the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering for our hands, from our hands rather, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time. In other words, think about it for a minute, Manoah. If God was going to kill us, he wouldn't have showed up and said, hey, you're going to have a child, raising this way, I'll take this offering, go on the flame, now I'm going to kill you. That just doesn't make sense, Manoah. Think this through, okay? And so Manoah calms down. Okay, you're right. All right, I got it. You're right, honey. This is a good one, so we're okay. So she, again, oftentimes, as the wives are, they're more level-headed and able to settle us down when we get a little crazy, right, men? At least I know God does that through my wife. And so the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and he came out with a line of luggage called Samsonite. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, that's nothing to do with anything. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Manahah. I had trouble saying the first service. Mahaneh, there it is. Mahaneh Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol. And so next, when we get into this, we're going to see Samson now grown up and God beginning to use him. And we're going to see some curious things about Samson's life. That is the fact that he did have some sins he struggled with, but God still used him. And we'll talk about why and what that means for us when we get to there. But guys, if I leave this today, where I want to leave it is this. Number one, train up your kids in the way they should go. God has given you a great command and mandate. Do it morning and night. Figure out a way to make it work. As you walk along the way, as you sit in the house, live your life in front of them as the life that honors God, and God will raise up kids that honor him and you when they get older. And secondly, make sure that you have seen the God-man before you leave here today.
Thank you for joining us today in this interesting passage of Judges. Here on Come to the Table, Pastor Mark Kirk is working his way through this Old Testament book. And there are lessons for us to learn from these people who lived during that time. Samson is one of the last judges mentioned in this book, and he had quite a tale. He was meant to live as a Nazarite, committing himself to the Lord and the Lord's things. But he had a straying eye that led him straight to all the wrong women. He was drawn toward Philistine women, who tricked him more than once, and ultimately led to his downfall. But did you know that God mentioned Samson in the book of Hebrews when he refers to many people who had great faith? When you think of the faith heroes of the Bible, Samson is probably not going to make your short list, right? But in God's eyes, he sees things differently. That should be an encouragement for you today, as you may not see yourself as anything, but God sees you differently and uniquely. He recognizes strengths in you that you may not even be able to observe from your perspective. Keep these things in mind today as you go about the day, whether you feel purposeful in what you're doing or if you're wondering what in the world God is doing. He's there with you, and he is for you, excited to see your faith lived out. That's all for today's teaching, but we invite you to go to thewaymedia.net, where you can be directed to our church's service times. Just click on the Calvary Knoxville link. Once more, our website is thewaymedia.net. We look forward to you joining us again for Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.